The passage this morning is from 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Chapter 4, starting from verse 1. The widow's olive oil. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go round and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left."
Right, all full now. She's got so much. How do you think all that tiny bit of olive oil became so much? Has anyone any ideas? How did that happen? Yeah. By God. And when God does something amazing like that, what do we call it? We call it a miracle. So this is a miracle that God has performed for this poor widow. She had absolutely nothing, and now she's got abundance of oil. It's absolutely fantastic. And Elijah says, "Okay, you can go sell it now. You can sell it and you pay off your debt, and you and your sons can live on what is left." It's absolutely brilliant, this gift that God has given her. Here she is in a time of famine, surrounded by loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of containers full of oil. Full to the brim, but she's going to sell on to other people now. And she doesn't just get loads of oil, does she? She gets her sons' lives back. She's safe from debt, and the sons are safe from slavery. It's brilliant. God is amazingly, amazingly kind. He's given her and her sons a future. And it's really important that we just stop and think, what does this teach us about our God? It teaches us that he is good. First of all, he's good. He is very, very kind. He's good. He's very willing with his help. He's not reluctant to help his people. You know that, don't you? He doesn't need to have his arm twisted. He's willing to help. We see this in Elisha, the man of God. We see it especially in Jesus, the man who is God. Do you remember, time and time again, people came to Jesus and he was willing to help them. Do you remember that leper in Mark chapter 1? A man who's covered in leprosy comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." You remember what Jesus does? He reaches out and touches us and says, "I'm willing. Be clean. I'm willing." Jesus is willing to help. God is willing to help us. He's eager to help us. We can be sure of God's willingness to help. God is good. God is good. He is very generous with his help as well. Not only willing to help, he's generous with his help. He doesn't give the woman what she needs. He gives her much more. Some people think God is stingy. And he's mean, and he's tight-fisted. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not our God. He's not tight-fisted. He's not mean. His habit is to make his goodness overflow to us. And if we just pause once in a while to count our blessings, we would see that. Now, we have to be very careful here, don't we? Because we've got to be on our guard against some teaching that's around in Christian circles, which is wrong teaching. See, there's some people around, they're called the health and the wealth teachers. And they say, if you come to Christ, become a Christian, and you'll always be healthy, and you'll always be wealthy. And sadly, that kind of teaching is on the increase. But it's wrong. You even get people who are saying, if you give me your money, give me your credit card details, and God will bless you. That's a terrible thing. And we've got to be on our guard against that kind of bad teaching, that wrong teaching. May God save us from that. But I wonder, I've been thinking about this, I wonder that if in reacting against the wrong and bad message, we sometimes have too little an expectation of the difference it makes being a Christian. too low expectations of God's kindness towards us. We forget how many blessings he's given us. How many blessings he's given to every single person here in times of need and distress and difficulty. Things that we wanted and we had no right to whatsoever, but which he gave to us because he is good and kind and loving and generous. He loves to give good things to his people. He loves to do it. And if we trust and follow Jesus, he will bless us. He will be faithful to us. Now, he doesn't promise us health and wealth, a life free from suffering. In fact, Jesus told his followers, you've got to expect suffering. But we can expect him to be good and to be kind, and we can expect him to know exactly what we need and to provide for that in exactly the way required. He will always help his people in their trouble. We will have trouble, but the Christian has something no one else has in their trouble. Through Jesus, we have access to God, who is a very present help in our troubles. And that is a wonderful thing. And we not only have that, we have hope. We have hope as well. And I want us to finish by thinking about this. See, in this incident, we get a little look into God's wonderful plan. God's got a plan for the world, and he's bringing it about. This world, you'll know, it's gone terribly, terribly wrong because of our sin. We've messed it up. But God has promised to put it right through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God promised, right from the start of the Bible, when it all went wrong, that Jesus was going to come and put it right. And 2 Kings chapter 4 is in the Bible to tell us Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, so get ready for him. And we've seen this in previous weeks, that Elisha is a preview of Jesus. And the clues are there. So they've got the same name. Elisha means, who can tell me from last week? Elisha means God saves. And Jesus means the Lord saves. So very similar names that mean the same. God saves, the Lord saves. Elisha started his ministry down by the River Jordan after he received the Spirit of God. And Jesus, we saw last week, started his ministry after being baptized at the River Jordan and receiving the Holy Spirit. And I can't look at those jars filled to the brim with lovely olive oil without thinking of those big stone water jars at that wedding reception in Cana. One moment full of water, next moment filled to the brim with vintage wine. Jesus is the one greater than Elisha. God is keeping his promise to save the world, to put it right forever. And all these miracles that we're seeing and we'll see in the weeks to come, they're little previews of what's going to happen in the future. God's plan is on track. One day, you know, there's not going to be any famine. There'll be no hunger, there'll be no poverty, there'll be no debt, there'll be no wars. 100 years today since the First World War started, the war to end all wars, which wasn't. No wars, no sin, no suffering, perfection. And that day is coming. And God's people are going to be there. We don't deserve to be there. We don't deserve to be there. We've sinned against God. We're a bit like that woman in the story. She was in debt. Every single human being has a massive, massive debt to God that we can't pay. We can never work or pay our way into heaven. We can't pay our way to get right with God. We can never be good enough. We can never make up for our sin. Our debt to God is just too big. So you know what God did? In his goodness, in his kindness, in his grace, he sent Jesus into the world to pay our debt, so it can be paid off. Sent Jesus to die in our place to take the punishment we deserve. And you know what Jesus did? When that plan was put into place before the beginning of the world, he says, yeah, I'm going to go, Father, and I'll pay their debt. And he did. He came and he paid that debt on the cross as he died, so that we can have forgiveness from God and we can have life with God. We can be right with him, debt-free. That's brilliant, isn't it? What a gift. What a God. What a good and generous God. And it's on the day of judgment that we will see the full results of the work of Jesus, the one whose name means the Lord saves. We'll see the full results. On that day, we will see the goodness of the Lord Jesus to all who trust in him as he delivers us from the judgment and brings us to the land of blessing, to the new creation, the place of abundance. You know, when you see the goodness of the God of the Bible, the true and living God, when you see his generosity, When you see his grace, doesn't it make you want to follow him? Doesn't it make you want to get to know him better? Doesn't it make you want to spend eternity with him? And when you think about that, why wouldn't we want him to be our God? And why would we ever give up on such a God for the pathetic false gods around us? Why would we ever want to give up on such a great God? Let's pray. Father, we thank and praise you that you are a good and a generous and a kind God who loves to help his needy people. Thank you for showing us this in history through the miraculous power that you gave to the man of God, Elisha. But thank you especially for showing it to us in history through the miraculous power of the man who was and is God, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you provide everything we need for life and godliness. And when we don't get the things that we want, help us to keep trusting you on the road of difficulty and suffering, knowing that you love us and that you are good and kind and generous all the time, and that you are with us and that your goodness will lead us home. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.